It's time for Dirt and Sprig.
We have a trophy here that we're going to present. It's the World Championship Trophy, and it goes to the world champion, Portland Trailblazers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You're going to go back to throw the ball. Sets up, let's throw toward the corner of the end zone. It is intercepted! Intercepted! The Ducks have the ball! Down to the 35, the 40. Kenny Wheaton's going to score! Kenny Wheaton's going to score! 20, the 10!
And Brendan Sprague.
Smith hands to Simonton. Simonton around the corner.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer, Damian Lillard, are you kidding me?
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every single day.
Good morning, YouTube.
Good morning, everybody.
Six-pack Sprague here.
Six-pack Sprague hanging out. I mean, you are the closest of the three to a six-pack.
Ooh.
How many? Do you have any pack? Do you have a one-pack?
I'm pretty close to a six-pack. I've gained some weight posted to coast.
You're back in the gym now, though.
Yeah.
You're back grinding over there.
We're like 5.5 probably now.
Okay.
We're getting close back.
5.5 pack?
Yeah, 5.5 pack.
You need one more. You got to follow the suit of your conference. When you add Tulane and North Dakota State, you got to add two more packs.
He would probably maybe be closer, though. He's a string bean, and he doesn't do any weightlifting or training. He just runs.
What's your belly looking like over there, Swag?
So you might just have nothing but
like
ribs and abs.
Like a pony keg, so let's no, not get
it's like a what?
Well, it's like a pony keg is what it looks like.
I loved pony kegs in college. You get those little
we
tiny
can tell.
Kegs. And, wow. Wow. Somebody's a little upset about their group of five status this morning. Somebody's a little upset about their demotion in college football.
I thought you were on my side.
Wow.
What are you doing?
How
dare you?
And your baseball team's going to choke again, too.
Really?
I don't know.
Choke.
I'm not watching baseball anymore.
We got three of these.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour. We will make our big pee-pee picks coming up in 10 minutes, and we'll let you know where we're going.
Have I gotten any big pee-pee picks
I'll give you a schedule update or a result update. I'll let you know how everybody did last week.
So I got the Cougars. I know I had the Cougars.
Yeah, we all had the Cougars last week. Yeah. So we'll do all that coming up here in 10 minutes, and then Thursday Night Football, nice little game. Before I get back into, because we had a lot of reaction to the Pac-12 news today that I would like to continue to talk about, I do love some good audio. And when you get a nice little bit of trash talk going on, I quite enjoy it. I don't know how many people care, similarly to the way they did last year, but Colorado's playing Colorado State this weekend, which, whatever.
Deion's involved, you're going to care.
Troy Horton and Brandon Fowler Nicolosi are two Colorado State players who sat down for interviews getting ready for their in-state rivalry. Now, if you remember last year, this was the Jay Norvell, take your hat off and your sunglasses off if you're a man. Greet me with your sunglasses and your hat off kind of thing.
And we thought Colorado was going to house them because of that comment,
yes.
And they should have lost.
They should have lost the game.
That was The Rock. The Rock came to the game day set.
Yeah. He did, and they had the dirty hit on Travis Hunter, remember,
that's
that broke
right.
his ribs or yep. whatever. So there was a bit of juice going into this game, and then these Colorado State players sat down this weekend. This is what they said.
We owed them one, and that's just something that's been sitting on everybody, you know, mind since we came back from break. You know, we owe them, and we walked away from that game, you know, as, you know, we kind of left it all on the field. I don't feel like we left it all on the field because we should have murdered them guys. And, you know, they came out with that attitude as they were on top of the world. And this ain't no Cinderella story, so.
Got humbled.
For revenge.
Yeah, they came out with that attitude and thought it was going to be a cakewalk. They saw the reports, 27.5 points or whatever it was. And they got a rude awakening. Real quick, and I think it goes to show that the hype, the media train, all that, it only gets you so far. At the end of the day, you have to line up 11 guys against our 11 guys, and we'll find out who wants it more, and we'll see how far Instagram followers gets them.
We all came here to play football, so at the end of the day, the millions of followers and fans that they then produced and got and celebrities that then jumped on their side because of who Deion Sanders is. At the end of the day, Deion Sanders ain't playing. It's those players playing. So those players better back up on what they speak about.
It's six-pack football, baby.
That is a new brethren of you. Are we ramming it this weekend?
You're damn right we're ramming it.
Are we back in the pack? Are we back to backing
Sanders.
The pack?
Yep. Their offensive line's terrible. This is revenge weekend for
us.
Do
you believe now?
Oh, they're going to believe now.
They're going to believe after this game.
Are they playing this back at Mile High, or are they on campus?
I hope it's at Colorado State.
Let me check.
Because last weekend it was, or last
they used to play this game. It used to be like the first game of the season at the Broncos Stadium.
This game, no, it is at Canvas Stadium in Fort Collins.
Fort Collins.
Fort Collins, Colorado. 4:30 on CBS.
Look, it's not the most exciting game to say out loud, given what last year was, and now we've got some trash talk on the other side.
Oh, it's great. I love it, man.
I mean, people want to watch Deion lose. This is exactly what you get up for college football for. I hope they can follow through with it, because if they don't, it's going to make them look stupid.
I mean, they just ran their mouths a lot.
That was a lot.
How far will Instagram likes will go? Like
celebrities. But they did blow a big lead last year, man. They were dominating that game, and somehow they came back. Colorado did. And what, won it in overtime?
It was an overtime game, if I remember correctly. There were also, I guess, the Norvell family talked a lot of S about Deion Sanders in the offseason, so that's a whole added layer to this, too. Like, his wife was running her mouth about
him. They're no strangers to talking trash about Deion Sanders.
43-35, your final in double overtime.
Double overtime.
It was, Colorado had to score 14 points in the fourth quarter to force overtime.
Yeah.
And then they won in the second overtime.
They got housed by Texas in week one, which Texas is one of the best teams in football.
They did.
And it wasn't, I mean, I'd have to go look at the game by game because I didn't watch everything Colorado State last weekend, but I think they won.
Colorado State beat Northern Colorado last week 38-17.
That's a Big Sky score.
That's a big
not paying attention.
Well, but it was 52-0 when they played
Texas.
They
weren't good last year going into this game.
No.
And we all thought because of the Norvell comments they were going to get just laughed out of the building. This was a big game day thing. The Rock showed up. We had all these celebrities on the sidelines. And remember, the first half of that thing was a snooze fest by Colorado. You know, maybe there is something to this. Talk trash. I don't care. I love it. I think it's good for us. I want to play that audio.
It's awesome, man. For rivalry games, I want this.
I know you hate them.
Yes.
So just tell me.
I wish Oregon and Oregon State were saying this about each other this week.
I'm going to give you a hot take.
Running to the Big Ten, you could barely beat Idaho. Like, talk some trash, man. Let's go. Liven it up a little bit.
I'll give you a hot take. I don't care if I'm a coach.
No.
This stuff, it's always easy when the team wins to go back and go, we heard what they said. We didn't execute. That's why you lose the game.
Yeah.
Somebody saying something on Thursday does not change whether your blocking assignment is correct, whether you pass block right or run the right route. I don't care. What do I care? I said things last year. I'm the coach. If I'm Norvell, I'm like, whatever, we're moving on.
Right.
You said what you said. Now go back it up.
It is what it is. This is a 7-point spread. For Saturday. It's a touchdown spread. Colorado favored by a touchdown.
You know what I hate more? I say this as somebody who coached last year girls basketball. I had a team. My team was good. They completely went into a week against a team we had beaten, and we had a player make a comment of like, oh, we beat this team easy last time, and it pissed me off.
You got that. You were Notre Dame. You were Notre Dame
at
NIU.
And guess what happened?
You lost.
We scored 0 points in the first half. We were like 0-28. And I told him at halftime, I said, you came in with the wrong mentality.
Yes, you did.
And we lost that game. I would rather my team care way too much about the game
and be up for it
than to not care at all and look past the team.
I want to get back into the Pac-12 news coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will make our big pee-pee picks in between. Wanted to read a text here at the Vancouver Ford text line, which is where you can interact with the show, 503-864-6326. And this one reads, I'm a little bit behind on the app. I'm a Beaver fan here. On the one hand, I'm glad something is settled and we have a path forward. For the most part, I'm just sad about it all. It's disgusting what they've done to college football. It feels like the final nail in relegation to Group of Five status.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll feel differently in time, but it's hard to see myself being excited about college football and renewing my season tickets. The last part pains me to say, and I'm a lifelong Beaver fan, diehard fan, and a season ticket holder for the last 9 years. That's from Steve. And Central Oregon.
I think, Steve, I can't blame you at all for that last feeling. I've heard from Oregon State fans in my life similar thought. You know, look, the future, we don't know. The next 2 to 3 years, like when this whole thing kind of gets going, if Bray's the guy, They have a good year this year. They have a good year next year.
Yeah, you win 8-9 games
in
the next 2 years.
You beat some Power 4 opponents that are going to be on your schedule, and then you get to a playoff in your first year as the Mountain West champion.
Does it change your perspective?
I think
it
will. You will feel different at that point. But that's a few years down the road, and so we don't know what's going to happen.
And it's not a guarantee that that's all going to happen, and that's the tough part with it. And so I don't blame anybody. Your thoughts are welcome. We'll get back into it at the bottom of the hour. And people are texting in some, their support of Colorado State this weekend, which I'm enjoying. Back the pack. I was a back the pack guy.
Six pack.
Can I back the pack? Am I allowed to do that?
It feels weird with you doing that with that sweatshirt.
Does, I need to take my sweatshirt off and then back the pack? Am I allowed to?
I think you want back in the pack.
I'm back in the Cougs this weekend, I'll tell you that much.
Would you be mad if Oregon went back to the pack?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Really?
At this point, yes.
Bring it back, man. Come on, we're partners. You guys used to suck.
I mean, there's two conferences that matter a lot on the sport right now. We got a seat at the table at one of them. And
we used to take the train to each other.
We did. We used to play at Hayward Field, man.
We did.
Back in the day.
We were an agricultural school. Come on, man. Come back.
How do you feel about the Pac-12 news this morning? 503-864-6326.
Come back.
We'll get back to
you want to be a Pac boy?
You're the guy outside of my bedroom window with your boombox on your shoulder. I'm so sorry. Please come back.
You want to be a six-pack boy. Come
be
on.
A six-pack boy? We would dominate. I feel like we dominate. But although, Idaho, invite Idaho. Because that's a good program right there.
I don't think you want us to invite Idaho.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, you might be scared of Boise.
We almost just lost to Boise. That's the first time we ever beat Boise. So
be a pack boy.
We'll make our big PP pack picks coming up next.
Nobody likes that.
And I'll let you know how we did last week. We'll tweet out the picks as well so you can see them. That is next on 1080 The Fam.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back in. We'll dive back into the big news of the day. End of last night, Pac-12 After Dark. Pac-12 before sunrise.
Poll questions up, by the way. Does at the Dirt Johnson secretly want to be a pack boy?
It's well played, Swag. Well played.
I know you do. I know you want a seat at the table and you want to win natties. You also grew up here. You want to be a pack boy. You are a pack boy to your core. You can't give it up. Stop trying to quit us.
Come back to the pack.
I think if Oregon announced we're going back, we don't screw this world. We're going to settle this on our terms.
We're back.
I think you're all in. I think you're jacked.
I love the text from Beaver fans. We don't even want them back.
Let's calm that down. I do.
Easy.
I want this game.
No, you're
going to
want me back. I want it back. And then your fans said they don't want me back.
They don't represent the fans. I do.
Okay.
I do.
You're the spokesperson. Here's how we did in our big PP picks last week. And a listener said, you guys need to tweet out your big PP picks. So I will make sure to do it this week.
Big PP.
You and I went 2-2. Swag won the weekend 3-1.
I had two wins.
You had two wins.
Did I pick right?
I will let you know. I was the only one that hit Eastern Michigan over Washington. You homers.
We're homers?
Damn right you are.
Yeah. I was the only one that took the points.
That was the only
Boise
one.
State.
Yeah.
Although it did not go as I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, you said backdoor cover.
Backdoor cover.
Not
no,
quite the way
came
it played out.
Kicking in the front door.
So Eastern Michigan covered against Washington. That was a 24.5-point spread. They won by 21. Was it 30-9, 31-9, something like that?
Yeah.
So Eastern Michigan covered. We all three hit on the Cougs. I did take San Diego State. That did not work out well for me. Although when they had the ball on the 2-yard line going in, I thought, ha ha, I'm onto something here. And then they fumbled and lost by 21. So you guys hit on Oregon State. Those are the two you got right, Sprague, Wazoo and OSU. Mm-hmm. And then you and I took Oregon. That clearly didn't go right. And Swag was the only one that took Boise State. So season standings early on. You and I are 4-4, kissing our sisters.
I thought I was 0-whatever.
Back-to-back 2-2 weeks for us.
All right.
And Swag, after a 2-2 week, added a 3-1 week. Yeah. And he has the early lead at 5-3. We will start.
It's such a weird segment, the Big PP.
The Big PP picks. And this week, because we're playing each other, there's not four games to pick. We only got two, buddy.
I know. Let's
That's
do it.
It. We will start 12:30 on the Peacock. Washington State, Washington, Lumen Field. Swag, the T-Box is yours. The current line in this game, let me see where it opened because I wanted to give you that information.
The last I saw was 4.
It's been at 4 almost.
So it opened at 8.5, according to Vegas Insider.
Wow.
And the line, I'm just using the DraftKings line.
You got to use A-Lin A for this, remember?
All right, what's the stupid A-Lin A line? I have it at 5 on DraftKings. What's your stupid A-Lin A? I hate this. This is so dumb. The game that we're not even going to gamble. Let's go find the Aylin A book. What do you got?
Well, it won't be on Aylin A because they don't take bets on the local.
Then we're using DraftKings. Then we're using DraftKings. Yes. Five. Five is your line. Five. Cougars plus five. Huskies minus five. Swag, you're up.
I'm going to take those 5 points. I think the Cougs offense is dynamic enough, is skilled enough, far more than anything that Washington has seen to this point, that they will be able to keep up with the Huskies. Whether or not they pull it off, they can't turn it over, they can't have bad penalties, all of those sorts of things. But if I'm getting more than a field goal in this, yeah, I'm taking the Cougs.
Okay, Sprague.
Six-pack Sprague. Cooging it up. Look, Washington's run game is problematic. I am concerned that if there's no cover here, it's going to be Washington. And Will Rogers, look, it's Eastern Michigan, but Will Rogers got it going a little bit. I think he's maybe settling in more and more with this system. I know Tyson Durant doesn't agree with that, but it's one thing to rush Texas Tech. It's another to rush Washington. Washington is rebuilding. Jet Fish isn't coming in there with some saps. So I think their offensive line's going to be more formidable against that pass rush for Washington State. They should have beaten the Huskies last year.
They should have.
That was maybe the best team in college football. Penix was awesome, and they needed a trick play with Rome
on fourth down in their own territory
to win that game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go rivalry weekend. Give me points. I'll take over a field goal. Give me five. Mateer and the six-pack Cougs.
Yeah, I think all of you, everything you said there is valid. Washington's got to get off to a faster start because this isn't Eastern Michigan or Weber State. This is a rivalry game, a team that hates you, that is out for blood. And their first halves have not been good their first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
It was a 7-6 game late in the first half.
Slow starts back-to-back weekends.
Can't do that again this week because Washington State's coming for your jugular. And just because of the sheer fact of what you mentioned the game last year and the points, I think John Mateer brings a dynamic that's kind of tough to put your hands around, and he's going to run around and make some plays and extend plays. You like that? I will take the Cougs plus the five in this game. Next up, 12:30 on Fox.
Who's on the broadcast call? Is this a Brock Heward game?
Probably a Benetti-Brock Heward game.
Brock Heward.
Would be my guess.
I would be perfectly happy with that.
Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah.
Because the Big Nooners, Wisconsin, now Alabama.
Yes, that is correct.
So that'll be the Gus and Joel game.
They were the only reason I watched that god-awful Utah-Baylor game, because they were on the call.
Because Benetti and Heward were on the call. Yeah. The line currently, you can let me know what Aylin A says. I have the open of this line. Now, I think these are from the summer, 20 and a half.
Well, yeah, that was the early
so
line.
So currently on DraftKings, this is 16 and a half.
It is 16.
16?
At Aylin A.
Okay, well, I'll drop the half point.
What?
Oregon State plus 16 for the Beavs. Where are we going?
Well, can we clear something up for the show?
Yeah.
We still have a bet that I'm like kind of waiting to pay off, and I don't know if we're logically going to be able to ever pay it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're a swag right now.
No.
You've got a bit of a swag thing going on.
No.
How long are we going to let this linger? It's almost wintertime. I win the bet, and now I got to figure this out. Huh?
You're the golf
this
guy.
This is all on me.
You got the tracking device and all that. I'm ready to go. What do we do for this? Do we just wear gear? I mean, we got so many bets right now, it feels like.
We got a lot of bets up in the air.
I don't know what to do
here. I also want to bet against my team. I want to take the points. How does that work? Do I win the bet if I take the Beavs plus 16?
I just don't know what to do with this. We used to do something for this, but it was the end of the year, so it gave us time to think, and now it's like here.
Let us know if you got any ideas to pay off the bet.
Can we not make it something like...
I'm not doing something stupid. I'm not shaving
my head. No, shaving,
no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing any of that.
I'll wear gear. Do you want to... Does that make you happy? I don't know.
Do I got to go buy beaver gear?
Can you buy a duck head? Do they have Donald Duck head somewhere that I can buy? Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
All right, we'll figure this out. Okay. We got a day. 16 is your line.
You start, Swag. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm concerned about the injury to the Oregon State offensive line. I am concerned about the inconsistency in the passing game. The Ducks defensive line will be extra motivated after Genty went all up in their business getting out of there. Mm. I think Oregon has their coming out party for the season.
Doing it again. You're tripling down.
No, he took Boise, Boise State last weekend.
That is true.
And so I'm going to lay those points.
You're a traitor. You're no longer allowed in the Pac-6. The six-pack for about a week. You're suspended.
Kicked him out of the Wolf Pack.
Yeah, go to the Mountain West, you traitor.
You know what? I like money. You know what? I don't like jokes.
Well, you're not actually gambling on the game, so you don't like money.
I might go to Aylin A.
Liar. You are a liar.
You like that line that much? You're that confident that
Give me a score. You think it's a coming out party. Give me a score.
45-17.
I actually don't like the matchup either for my Beavs because of the quarterback uncertainty and now the offensive line.
Don't make it 3-3.
So I will be taking Oregon State plus a 16.5. Hey! Your offensive line sucks.
Hey, there it is.
Bedford. One. Yeah, right.
Hey!
Stuck in Bedford.
Yeah! Go,
Beavis! 37-27.
37-20. You're losing 37-27?
I didn't say winning. Who's winning or losing.
Okay, I'm asking for clarification.
I gave you a score, and I took Oregon State with the points.
I'm going to tweet out our score predictions with Sprague. ?37? Who does he have?
Who's got two top 10 rushers in the country? This team. Who gave up a ton of yards on the ground? Your team. Who doesn't have a good offensive line? Your team.
I wish we could play San Diego State.
Jam our Hank down your throat.
We've had to play juggernauts like Idaho and Boise the first 2 weeks, okay?
Oh, juggernauts.
Why don't you try and keep up with this schedule? Idaho's going on the road and winning at Wyoming, a Mountain West school who's not getting the invite to the new Pac.
We just won a road game. We've actually not been scared to go on the road. We don't pay teams to come to us and almost beat us.
We just like to test ourselves, see how our mettle shakes out for later in the year.
I can't wait to see nervous Dan Lanning face because I've seen it before and I'm going to see it again. He's starting to start sweating in weird places.
Can we just write 8:27 on Thursday? Can we write all of this down for the Monday Open? Either way, you got to have it. Either way. I mean, I just had a sheer principle I have to take my team, although it's a very low confidence pick. A very low confidence pick.
Do you like the spread's gone your way?
No, I don't.
That doesn't make you
feel
more confident.
What have you seen to be confident gambling in my team right now?
I don't know.
I mean, they barely beat Idaho, and then they needed a last-second field goal to beat Boise. So you tell me they stopped doing all the dumb stuff they've done and they win this game by 28? Like, sure, I could see it, but are they going to stop doing all the dumb stuff they've been doing? Probably not.
Dylan has never played in an environment that he's going to encounter this weekend. This will be the most truest road game of his life.
Nothing close
in UCF. Get out of here.
But the two reasons why I will make an argument for gambling Oregon. One, I do believe that Bedford's going to play. It seems like he's on track. He's going against the ones in practice this week. I think that settles down your offensive line a little bit. It's not going to fix all the penalties and all the other issues, but I think you're better up front. And Oregon State's strength is their running game. If they want to win this game, they have to run the football. And now they are without one of their starting offensive linemen. So
yeah,
I don't know what they have behind him. I'm not in depth with the depth of Oregon State's offensive line like some people probably out there. So maybe you plug that hole and you don't miss a beat. But that's a big question mark because there is nothing in Oregon State's passing game that makes me scared.
Yeah.
And so if they're not able to run the football efficiently, like we can joke about Genty and what he did last week. I think he had 190 yards on the ground. 100 of those yards came on two carries, so it's big chunk runs that he had that really killed Oregon. I think 13 of his 25 carries, they held him below 3 yards. So they bottled him up.
They had a good third quarter
against
him.
And they had a great third quarter, and then he'd break a 70-yarder, and then he'd break a bunch of tackles and break a 30-yarder. But they had like 360 total yards of offense as a team. He was more than half of that himself. So I think Boise State has a better passing attack than Oregon State.
Something I don't know if you want to carry over, but something about what you just said. If Bedford plays, then this is, I mean, I guess I'm probably not thinking straight on this, but if you're getting Bedford back, this is your offensive line. Now we get to see what your offensive line is.
Yeah. I mean, it would be Poncho at center. It'd be Bedford and Harper at the guards and Cornelius and Connerly at tackle. Yeah. That would be, now you would say, I don't know if he's 100% if he's playing, so you would hope maybe there's room to grow still.
No, but this is your offensive line going into Big Ten play.
Your offensive line going into Big Ten play.
What you see this weekend is probably largely what you're going to see going forward.
Yes. And if Bedford comes back and is still an issue, ooh boy.
Yeah, if you're still struggling,
October 12th is going to be ugly. if you still are struggling with the starting offensive line.
Especially against that defensive line.
They have a very good defensive line there. We will tweet out our big PP picks. Mm. Thank you, everybody, for following along. We love doing that segment. And I hope you enjoy looking at our big PP picks.
By the way,
on social media.
Overwhelmingly winning the poll question. You want to be a Pac boy.
I want to be a Pac boy?
Yeah, you miss it.
Oh.
We know. Yes or no? Big Ten arrogance? Or does he want to be a Pac boy?
I'm a B.I.G. boy. I'm a B1G boy now.
No, you're telling yourself you're a B1G boy.
I'm a B1G
I'm
boy.
I'm a big boy now.
What do we make of the big news of the day? We will get back into that as Oregon State and Washington State starting to rebuild the Pac-12. Your thoughts, welcome, Vancouver 4 text line. We'll get into Thursday Night Football as well at some point here in the final half hour of the show. But
I can't tell where the journey
Well, it's been a hell of a day, hell of a night, hell of a day. Clarification on what the future is going to look like. The Pac-12 is being rebuilt.
Yep.
Four schools. It's amazing how quickly all this comes. Like, you get these random social media accounts teasing all these different things.
ACC, Big 12, it's going to happen.
This news, what does this
mean? It's going to happen for the Beavs.
And then just out of complete left field on a Wednesday night, it's Ross Dellinger saying, oh, by the way, San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise State, Fresno State are going to the Pac-12. And it will be done tomorrow morning, and then you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there's an announcement officially from all the universities and from the conference. The Pac-12, or the Pac-2, is now up to the Pac-6, and they're not done here, and they're going to continue to grow. But this is a pretty monumental day, whether you're happy about it, sad about it, pissed about it, whatever. This is, I mean, we have been waiting for news on this front for a very long time. We don't know what the final product's going to look like, but now we know what the future holds for Oregon State and Washington State.
And I hate to be that guy, but yeah, this goes back to multiple conversations. That's why journalism matters, and not just throwing crap on social media to appease a fan base on all these unrealistic things. This is why Ross Dellinger tweeted this. Brett McMurphy had follow-up reporting on this. I'm sure that weird account jumped on some way. I told you this was the possibility if this and this didn't happen, but, you know, the finality of it, I know it's not over and they're going to get two more teams, but in a way, knowing this is your future, you kind of knew it was, but you were holding out some hope for some other things. This can be an okay thing once your Group of Five conference is settled and you have the new Pac-12. It's just a matter of if you're going to compete. The one encouraging thing is you're putting together so far pretty good Group of Five conference.
Yes.
You poach the right schools, you'll have the best Group of Five conference because you want your team to be in the playoff. You don't want them to regress in talent, but you do get a playoff share if one of the teams in your conferences goes to this playoff.
And it might be you. Maybe it's a year where you actually have a good year and you host a damn playoff game. You get Alabama to come to Corvallis or Pullman.
Imagine that.
In December.
Right?
It'd be incredible.
That would be awesome to experience even if you don't win it. So, there's probably certainly more negative than positive with this because of what your future holds, but you've decided your future. Enough waiting. You know, you had maybe the hot girl in front of you. She kind of flirted with you a little bit. Stop waiting for it. Go get with somebody you got great connection with that's right in your lane that makes the most sense. It's what Oregon State, Washington State decided to do.
Sean has hit us up on Twitter. He said the Beavs and Cougs didn't want any of this. They were dealt an unfair, bleepy hand by the 10 defectors. Our leaders are doing the best that they can with the cards that they've been dealt. This is far from over. Going to be patient and see what happens next. At least we have some answers. I feel like that's a pretty good perspective to it. You know, to the side that says this is doom and gloom and the death of, you know, anything that matters in football, that's a little too far on the negative scale for me. To the side that says, well, now the Pac-12 is going to be this power conference that is going to have a seat. Like, no, you're not. So I think sometimes the truth's it balances out in the middle.
Nobody wants to be in the middle.
And nobody wants to be in the middle, but I think the first follow-up question that I have is, like, what are the next moves and how long does it take you to make those moves? You know, what if in a month you get the news that X, Y, and Z schools are going to join and now you're up to 8 or 9 and it's not just San Jose State and Hawaii and Nevada. It's Tulane and Memphis and UTSA. What if that is the next move?
I would like to see that aggressiveness. I don't know how likely that is. I would like to be surprised and see that aggressiveness because
that'd be
those
fun,
are good programs.
Man. Like, as a football fan,
I go to New Orleans to watch Tulane, Oregon State,
dude,
like sneaky
there.
Random conference game. Like
Memphis.
That. Memphis.
That's gonna be a fun trip.
And
San Antonio.
Yeah.
Go with Barkley.
Well,
those big fat women down in San Antonio.
I've been to San Antonio. Barkley's.
Yeah, on San Antonio.
San Antonio is a two-night town.
I think they play at the Alamo Dome, don't they? Is that where they play their football games?
No, I think they have...
They have their own stadium?
I thought the Alamo Dome got bulldozed.
No, it's,
no,
still,
it's
there.
Still there. Still there. Yeah. Yeah. They play the Holiday... Or not the Holiday Bowl, the...
The Alamo Bowl.
The Alamo Bowl. Idiot. They play the Alamo Bowl there.
In the Alamo Dome.
In the Alamo Dome every year.
No, but if that's what you do, great. Go get good programs if you want to bring North Dakota State up to a level.
No, they play at the Alamo Dome.
They do.
UTSA does.
Okay. If you get...
Look at me over here back in the pack. Go get that Alamo Dome in your conference.
You want to be a pack boy? if you get North Dakota State, you get good programs that are fun to watch and excite. Cool. Go Fort Atlantic, Georgia Southern. I don't know, but go get that. Awesome. If this turns into Air Force and San Jose State,
then I'm with you.
It's a major buzzkill.
Absolutely.
There's no other way to put that. That is a major buzzkill. And at that point, all you're going to get sold is optimism and, hey, in 5 years, like, cool. I might be dead in five years.
I think they're only going to look.
It's morbid.
Well, it's just for, like, 5 years. Yeah, like, 5 years?
Come on. I don't think they're going to take it past eight right away. I think they know they have to have eight. But I think they want to leave the option open for the ACC to fall apart and Cal and Stanford to be back available to them or something like that. Or the Big 12 to, you know, they have talk of having 24 or some odd, you know, there. And then teams are going, this is stupid. You know, yeah, we're a power conference, but we're divvying up the pie so many ways that, you know, we can't get anything out of it sort of thing. So I would be surprised if they bring on more than two more teams to meet the minimum right away.
Yeah, I think in the short term, this is ultimately the right call. Like, you needed to settle this. They don't have a viability for a college football playoff this year because they're not in the Mountain West Conference, even though they're playing a Mountain West largely schedule. Like, you can't just keep going as an independent and drawing up your schedule out of thin air and figure, like, all right, every...
You can't be a two-team conference.
Every year, like, who the hell are we going to play this year? All right, let's try and find six more opponents. Like, that's not an easy thing to do. And so you had to eventually settle this. I think to your point, and this is where I would be at, what's the next move? Are the next two teams you add Nevada and UNLV? Then it's, all right, whatever. But are you going to use that war chest to truly be aggressive and go build something? You know, this turned into, when USC and UCLA left, and it shocked all of us, it shouldn't have, but it shocked all of us, it turned into a go fend for yourself. That was the reality of it. Yeah. And unfortunately, your two schools were the ones that were left saying, wait a minute, who's going to fight for us? Where do we go from here? Like, go be the guy with the knife stabbing people in the back. Go stab the American Athletic Conference. I don't care about them. We're going to go take Tulane from your ass. That's the best school you got. We're going to take the best schools from the Mountain West. We're going to kill your conference. I don't care. Find a way to make yourself viable in the years to come. Go be aggressive. Use the money that you've made in all these lawsuits. And you can turn this into not a Power Four, not the Pac-12. It's not the Big 12. But the best of the next is not a terrible spot to be in long term, but you got to get there and you got to be aggressive to get there.
So Ian Furness, who went to Washington State, roots for the Cougs, he had a little bit of this on Twitter today earlier of this was kind of obvious to see coming. Mountain West was demanding too much money for more scheduling, agreements. So what do? You just stab them and you take their stuff. You rob them, basically.
You don't want to play with us? We're going to take your schools.
You've already been robbed, so rob somebody else is basically what you've turned it into. An interesting point by him, though, of he doesn't think a school like Boise, because Boise's the most notable one of these four in the football. Fresno State's been pretty good in the past. San Diego State is rebuilding. I know they suck, but they're a basketball school, too.
Just build a new stadium.
San Diego State?
Yeah, didn't they just open a new stadium?
Yeah, they just opened a new stadium.
Yeah, like 2 years ago,
But his point was, he doesn't think those schools make this move unless there's an inkling of what a TV deal would be.
I would not, yes.
And so I think right now in the Mountain West, it's $6 million a year. You've gone pretty high today, and you may end up being right, but I think when Oregon and Washington in it, we're getting a 23. I have a hard time believing you're even within $5 million of that number.
Okay.
I think it's somewhere in the, can you get 12 to 15? Can you get 12 or 10 to 14? If you get into that, I mean, that's a financial upgrade for everybody.
Yeah, and that's where I think a lot of it would be, who else do you add and what are you selling to TV providers? Because if you add Nevada and San Jose State and that's the final move you make and then you're just waiting to see what happens with Cal and Stanford, you're not getting a good TV deal. But if you're aggressive using your money and your resources and you make this a truly wide window nationwide conference where you got pockets in Texas and pockets in the Southeast, you dominate all the West Coast, like you have all of that and you can take it to the table, then you are at least selling something to the networks that is intriguing and interesting and something that, as a football fan, I'm going to want to watch that conference.
Right.
Now, if you're just a glorified version of the Mountain West, I watch Mountain West football, but it's not the top of my priority every single week. And so a lot of it will hang in the air of what your next moves are. But I think at least there has to be some breath of fresh air of like, all right, at least there's clarity. Now what do you do from here?
I do wonder going forward if college football evaluates the landscape and says we could have Stanford and a team like USC or UCLA or Oregon. There's Oregon State, Washington State. Like, should they be in a conference? Could that make a lot of sense for the sport? You know, evaluate that landscape, you know, make it make sense. Arizona.
Maybe. Yeah.
Arizona State could
Arizona
be in the
State,
same conference.
Yeah, yeah. Colorado, all the attention.
Colorado, maybe Utah. You stretch out a little bit to Utah. You put those teams maybe down the road.
I think they'd have a combined record of 21-2 this year.
They could be in a conference. That may make sense for the sport. I don't know, though. I'm not smart enough. This is ridiculous. This whole thing is so dumb to me.
I know. It's going to be okay.
And I know you know because you want to be a Pack Boy.
I want to be a Pack Boy.
You miss it.
There's more cam rising in
I love. I
you want to beat Ohio State. You don't care about Maryland. You don't care about Indiana. You want to be a Pack Boy.
I care about Michigan. I care about Penn State.
You'd rather play them in non-conference. The whole thing is dumb. Yeah, you would.
And they don't come. That's not guaranteed they're coming to your building. Now we get them in our building.
You've had Michigan in your building.
22 years ago.
So?
Has Penn State ever played at Autzen?
No, but they've played them in a Rose Bowl.
Yeah, long time ago.
Fighting Wilcoxes.
Long time ago, man. Long time ago. It's okay. It's all right. Everything's going
to
be okay.
You got to go to Penn State for a whiteout. You got to go to that game?
Yeah, that sounds really cool, actually. I want to go jump around at Wisconsin. That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Freezing your ass off, jumping around, losing after the third quarter. It's not fun to jump around when your team's losing.
Hey, Thursday Night Football is tonight, and we'll preview it, give our thoughts on it next on The Fam. Well, we got a nice little Thursday Night Football game tonight. Are we excited to hear Al Michaels?
Yeah, Al Michaels said Tom Brady was great.
Oh, he did.
A great debut for old Al Michaels.
Al Michaels probably also thinks that Al Michaels brings a lot of energy to the broadcast now.
I don't like being here, man.
I know.
I don't.
I love Al Michaels.
Al Michaels.
I love Al Michaels. He's one of the best.
That's my goat. Yeah. Excited for the game.
Two and a half is your line. 2.5, Miami favored.
I'm riding the fins.
Riding the fins? I think I'm going to ride the fins, too.
Shaky defense from Buffalo. I think it's going to take a while. We'll see if Keon Coleman takes a big step this week.
He was fine. What, did he have 5 catches in game 1, something like that?
4 or 5 catches. Yeah, he caught on a little bit. He had a better debut than Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think Miami played about as bad as you possibly could in the first half of that game against Jacksonville. No Mostert, but Achan super fast.
He's a game-time decision, though.
Who?
Achan.
Oh, yeah, I know, but Mostert's for sure out.
Mostert's out.
He's out. Tyreek didn't get arrested, at least not so far. Think he'll be a little more, and he had an 80-yard touchdown in that game.
Somebody
get
him an Uber to the game maybe this time.
Is that the plan?
He took some accountability for that situation.
He did. I was glad he finally came out and said, hey,
cops still crossed the line.
They crossed the line. Yes. He could have handled it better.
Give me the Fins.
Fins?
And I hate Thursday Night Football, but at least we got a game.
Yeah. Swag?
It's less than a field goal at home. Yeah, the Fins.
Josh Allen 6-0 in his career on Thursday Night Football.
I know.
He's never lost.
It's a dangerous matchup.
Is he due, or are we bucking a trend?
I might live bet this one.
Okay, wait till I see it a little bit.
See what happens.
See if Achan's going to play or not. Because if not, they're pretty one-dimensional at that point.
I had that thought on Monday. I hammered the 49ers, and then like 45 minutes later, they're like, oh, by the way, Christian McCaffrey's not playing.
Same.
Cool. This is great.
Same.
And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They didn't need him. I think I'm on Miami tonight. This is at home.
Oh,
I feel like they play him good there.
Ride Buffalo then.
Yeah, take the Bills.
Universal show bets.
I actually might make some wings tonight. Feels like a nice little wing night.
Ooh.
A little wings on a Thursday.
That is a good idea.
That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find it. We talked a lot about the big Pac-12 news today. Tomorrow, we will have a lot on the Civil War, as it's the day before the game. And Mike Doc Parker will join us at 7:30. Boom goes the dynamite. Thanks for being a part of our Thursday, everybody. Like the video on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.